You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Big thanks to Mike Reese, who was with us. I thought he did a great job there breaking down the Patriots. I think the Browns will play them tougher than I think a lot of people do. And I agree with that. I think the Browns will play them tough. Interesting thing I read about Hugh Jackson. He's coached against the Patriots. Bill Belichick is a head coach once with that Raiders team that was putting a lot of points up. Belichick held him under 20. And then with the Bengals recently held him under 20 as well. So we'll see if he can get that offense going. Very excited to be welcoming into studio here momentarily. He's making his way in right now to the CBD studios. Offensive guard Joel Bitonio. And he's a guy that has been a huge part of what the Browns have been able to do up front, en route to having the number one rushing offense in the entire NFL. And he makes his way into the studio right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to bring you Joel Bitonio, the Browns' third-year guard here. Joel, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
How are you doing, man?
Good, man. Just
pulling it off a lot.
Oh, man.
That's been basically the bread and butter against that eight-man front. They run it right. You come around, clean up a linebacker, and Crow does what Crow does.
Yeah, I think there's this drive, the first touchdown drive, I might have pulled like eight times on one drive. I was a little gassed. I was like, man, let's have one going left here. I can down block.
They right. watched that footage you back at Nevada when you ran, I think, like 70 yards and leveled some dude. And there's like, and of course, the Atlanta, the kick return where you got the guy. So yeah. We know you can get out there and run a little bit.
Using a little bit of the athleticism.
Yeah, there you go. So are you enjoying kind of the switch? And clearly it seems to be suiting Isaiah Crowell very well, but to more of that power scheme that you guys are running this year. And now after 4 weeks, the number one rushing offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's it is more of a power than we've ever ran since I've been here, and I think a good thing we did last week was they were tried to slow us down a little bit in the second half, and we went to some more zone concepts, and we broke off a few big ones in that area too. But I've liked it, and I think Crow fits in really well with it. You know, he's downhill, but he's running like a madman. I don't know. I don't know how many people he made miss this last game, but
11 supposedly. 11
oh, wow.
missed tackles.
Wow. And he only had 15 carries. I mean, he had that one little catch that had like three on it himself. Uh-huh. But he's running great. Duke's running great. So it's awesome to know that the coach is gonna rely on the run game. We got some running backs back there. They're gonna run hard. And you know, you block in the NFL. There's gonna be guys unblocked. That's just how it is. You know, they have more guys than we can block.
Sure.
And so to have a running back that's really running well and making people miss, it's pretty fun to be out there.
I want to ask you about this, just and you can decline to come, and you can use the Fifth Amendment if you'd so choose. But you were right there for the Duke Johnson non-fumble. What happened? What was kind of the reaction on the field? Because it seemed almost surreal that they just gave the Redskins the ball.
Yeah. So I was running, and I had my man. You know, we weren't really part of the play, and then I saw my guy kind of turn and jump on the pile, and so I looked, and I was about to go jump too. And then the ball was in Duke's hand. So I
stopped. Why get in the scrum?
Yeah, I stopped.
You're like pointing at him. Yeah.
And I pointed at Duke, and I'm like, he has the ball. And then, you know, their offense started to run on the field after they broke it up and stuff. And I went over, and I'm like, well, I'm staying on the field. We got the ball, you know, even if they're going to review it and we're going to be fine. I was actually talking to their right guard, I think, and I was like, oh, man, we got this one easy. You might want to go back to the sideline. You know, this is our ball for sure. And then I guess they said they reviewed it, and I don't know. I don't know what happened. I just saw when I looked at the pile, Duke had the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So that's what my thought process was. But it was an unfortunate, turning point in the game. You know, I thought we were on a pretty good drive going down there.
Again,
and,
yeah.
But it was a tough one, and we gotta just can't put the ball on the ground. You know, don't give him a chance to even mess it up. But
sure.
Yeah.
I'll say the one thing that in doing this show that I've always wanted to do, having been a part of it in the National Football League, is. Whether you like it or not, we're going to run the football. Whether you know or not, we're going to run the football. We're going to be successful. We're going to block you up. We're going to get our 4 yards at minimum. Just how good does it feel that you are that football team right now where, and it seems that Hugh Jackson on first down wants to run the football, get it to second and six or less because of the success we've had with Crowell and you guys in the run game.
Yeah, so as an offensive lineman, I mean, you've played, and it's a lot easier for me, at least personally, to run block.
I was going to go there next, but yes.
Then it is to pass block. So when you get the first 15 and you see 10 runs in there, you're like, hey, this is going to be a good day. We're getting down. We're getting after them, you know. And sometimes we know early it's going to be, 2 or 3 yards. But we know as the game goes on, Crow's always a threat to break a big one. You know, there's a couple runs in this game where
he could have one away.
Yeah, one away. And so just the understanding of, as an O-lineman, it gives you a lot more confidence going into a game and understanding, like, hey, we're going to run the ball. We're going to take it down. And they understand, you know, every once in a while there's a play that's going to be missed. You know,
sure.
It's NFL. You're going to miss a block here and there. But consistently, we got to, you know, run the ball and control the ball and control the, you know, time of possession and things like
that. Exactly. And along those same lines, how much of that pressure has really been put on you guys as a veteran offensive line to kind of take some of the pressure off of Cody Kessler, who's learning the NFL game and thrust into action much sooner than he and many believe that he would be?
Yeah, I mean, Cody's done a great job anyway. I mean, I've only been around a few years, but he's, you know, for a young guy, he's come in and really, really, you know, took to the offense and really put in the time that you need to be a quarterback. And he's so confident in the huddle and so confident on the sidelines that it's great to have a guy out there. But you know, we want to give him a chance where he's maybe only throwing deep on play actions or, you know,
right,
taking the shots when he needs to. We don't want to be in a 50 passes a game, you know, mentality with any quarterback on this team. And to have a coach that really believes in that, I think, is really, you know, boosting the morale. Obviously, we want to get a win here,
sure,
you know,
sure.
but to have a running game that we can kind of hold our hat on, it's been really fun for us. And we understand teams are going to, you know, scheme things up to try and stop that now that we're putting that out there. But you know, I think we have a good game plan this week, and it's going to be exciting to go out there and try and get a win.
So we're going into game 5. You've already been next to 3 different centers, 3 different quarterbacks. How have you guys maintained that consistency up front?
You know, I think the guys that have come in have done a really good job. Like, John's such a vet that he really, you know, him shifting over and Cam going out, you know, unfortunate for Cam because he was really working hard and getting better each week. But for him to come in, that was pretty seamless, honestly. Like, I've played with him for 3 years now.
Yep.
And I was really impressed with Austin. You know, he came in and played
center. Had a great game.
And he played really well. You know, he fought. And who's his ex-team, you know, that let him go and, you know, put him on this practice squad. So he's kind of, you know, wanted to get back at him a little bit. And he played really well. And it was unfortunate, you know, the knee at the end of the game. But you know, I think he has a bright future. You know, I think he's going to be around and they're going to give him a chance. But I'm lucky to have Joe next to me because we have that, you know, we have that connection automatically. So there's always someone that I've played with, you know, on one side of me. And then
never miss a snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the center, it just kind of, you get the reps in practice. You get to work with them. And you've been doing it, you know, long enough in the season where you've had reps. You know, John took some reps in training camp at center. You know, I had some reps with him. Austin, he got every rep in practice, every rep in walkthrough last week. And we were really working for him to be the center. So you kind of get a small connection, and the way we've game planned it, you know, it's been easy. We're running the ball, you know, we're handling the time of possession, and I think the coaches have put us in good positions to be successful.
How nice is it for you to be healthy this year? Because I know that, you know, last year had some issues with that. To just be healthy, and I mean, your play is getting praised not only here in Cleveland, not only from the coaches, but just nationally for, you know, you looking like maybe the best guard in football right now.
Yeah, it's nice to be healthy. I mean, everybody's a little bit beat up, you know,
sure,
and the season goes
it's
on.
It's relative, right?
Yeah, but my ankles feel great. I mean, I feel 100%. I came into the season, you know, feeling awesome, and I told myself, like, you know, some injuries you can't prevent. Like, I got rolled up on last year. That's how it happened, you know. But I'm going to put myself in the best position to give myself the best shot of not having any of those, you know, nagging injuries that are, you know, hamstrings or something like that. I'm going to do everything in my power to come in and healthy and really, you know, try and give this team a – you know, a solid left side that they don't have to worry about. You know, they're like, we got Joe and Joel over there, and they're going to handle their business. And it's been awesome, you know. You know, hopefully we stay healthy and keep working. But I'd much rather play healthy than on a bad will.
Sure. Sure. The one thing that you can't deny is in watching your 4 football games is you guys are playing much more physical than I think you have in a very long time. And the effort that you guys are putting into the football game, that Hugh Jackson is getting out of you guys, is different than it's been in the past years. And the one question that I've been asked by outsiders or on other shows is, there's got to be some, you know, sense of defeat because of the way you guys have lost at least the last 3 football games when you've been in a position to potentially make one more play and win. And I guess take us inside the locker room and just talk about the conversations amongst you guys as a fairly young football team, and then the resounding message by Hugh Jackson in preparations to crank it up again against a very good football team in the New England Patriots.
Yeah, you know, when you go out there and give everything, I mean, anytime you lose, it sucks, but when you go out there and you give everything, you know, in Miami, I felt like, you know, it was a hot day, and I felt like literally after the game, we felt like we gave everything we had, you
right,
know, and then
and deserved to win.
Yeah, and to be disappointed like that, and then this last week, you know, we thought we had them tapping out. Honestly, we had thought we had the defense done, and then we gave it away, And so games like that, it's really demoralizing, you know. And I think we get the plane ride home, and you get into the next day, and Hugh comes in, and he's so energetic the next day. Even though we lost, he's so energetic. I mean, he's stern on us, you know. He's like, we have to win. Like, there's no time to you know, say we played well enough to do this. We're running the ball well. Like, wins are what matter in the NFL. He's like, if we didn't run the ball and we were 4-0, people would be, you know, a lot happier than what we're doing right now. So like, you know, we have to win. But the way he approaches it and the attitude he brings to the table just I think picks up the young guys. And you know, and we want to get a win to show these young guys the work we're putting in is worth it. You know, we understand it's a long journey, but I know these guys are practicing hard. I know these guys want to win. And that's one thing. I mean, we're going to try and outwork everybody we play this year. And hopefully I think that's going to turn into wins as we keep moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's, as UJ says, it is the bottom line here to get those W's. But, you know, it just seems, as you alluded to, it seems different. I know we brought you in here in training camp, and you're like, when Hugh first came in, yeah, it's different. What's something that maybe is a tangible difference you see maybe on game day, just the way things are going down? Because there just seems to be it seems to be a tighter group, and it seems to be, and I don't mean that people didn't care in previous seasons after loss, because certainly they did, but with the influx of young guys from successful college programs, nobody here is used to quote-unquote losing. It seems like there's a lot of fight and fire.
Yeah, these guys, you know, what I've noticed on the sidelines this year is when some bad things have happened early in games, we've kind of responded pretty well. I mean, we were down 14-0 to Washington. I don't know if teams in year past, we come back and get the lead. We should have been up 10, you know, in
sure.
the fourth quarter.
Driving right down.
And like, things like that, we understand, like, hey, you know, it's a long game. You know, they're not going to score a touchdown every possession. We're going to get the ball back. There's going to be a turnover here. We're going to make some plays, and we can stick to running the ball. We can stick to doing what we want to do in offense. And we've had those chances. You know, there's been some bad moments in a lot of the games where we kind of came back and had a good drive, or the defense has got another stop. You know, Miami, we're down 11. We come back and tie the game. You know, there's just been things where we've, you know, kind of put it behind us. It's one play at a time. It's the next play. That's the most important, you know, thing. That's our mindset, you know. And we got to, you know, keep getting it. You know, there's been some bad things where we haven't came back from, but I think there's an improvement on that. And, you know, the guys understand that it's a 60-minute game. There's going to be ebbs and flow, and we really got to keep, you know, pushing to get over that last hump.
And get those W's. Two guys that people have a lot of questions about. We see some of Spencer Drango when you guys go to that jumbo package. We haven't seen Sean Coleman, although he's been on the 53 and was active last week. How are those rookies coming along, and what have you seen from them in practice?
Yeah, they're getting better. You know, Sean was hurt in OTAs and stuff
right.
like that, so he didn't get the reps early on that you kind of need as an O-lineman to get in there. But he has all the potential in the world. I mean, this guy is athletic. He's long. He's a strong kid. So he's really coming out there, and he's been improving, you know, weekly. And I think he's a guy that, you know, down the end of the season, you know, going into the next year and stuff, people will still be able to keep an eye on. You know, I think he coming in, there was a little bit of a development side to him just because of the injury and where he played, the offense he was in mm-hmm. and stuff. But this guy has a lot of potential, and he works hard. Good. Both guys are great. I mean, we have a great line room. And then Drango, you know, he's still getting better. You know, he came in at guard at the end of the game
yep.
last year, and he did pretty well in pass protection. And he's in the big tight end stuff. And, you know, we're kind of low on tight ends now, you know, so you don't know how much he's going to have to play. But they're both just guys that are working hard and just trying to get better. And that was my thing. Like, when I was a rookie, I was just a sponge talking to Alex, talking to Joe, talking to John, talking to Mitch. Guys that – there's a reason guys play 9-10 years. Like, if you look at it, you have a few on each team. But a few on each team, that's like 50 or 60 guys in the NFL. You know, there's not that many guys
right,
that play 10
right.
years in the NFL. So there's a reason they're doing it. And I think these guys are, you know, understanding, like, hey, there's a reason Joe, I mean, besides the God-given ability and how good he is, like, he's still a professional, you know, and I think these guys are learning that and still developing their skills. And Coach Hunter's done a really good job with working with us and keep, you know, keeping it on about the fundamentals and just being, you know, a tough, physical, you know, fundamental group.
Last one for me, and we know you're a busy man. The one thing is we know about you is you're the starting left guard for the Cleveland Browns. We also know that you're a food connoisseur. So for our listeners out there, what's your favorite restaurant in Cleveland, and what's a restaurant that is a favorite of yours in Cleveland that people may not know about?
Okay, that's a tough question because I love all the restaurants, but when I like
you're not gonna describe just give me the food.
Yeah, when I take my wife out, we like to go to Blue Point in downtown
okay.
just because it's you know, usually we can get a reservation. I'm a kind of last minute guy. I'll be like Friday at 3. I'm like, oh, let's go to dinner, and I'll call them. They'll usually have something ready. So I don't have to, you know, work too hard. And they have an unbelievable lobster bisque.
Okay.
So, like, I could eat anything for dinner, but, like, I get the bread and the lobster bisque, and I just, like, dip that. Like, can I get another order of bread? I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, force it. So that would probably be our favorite. And then
I imagine you're doing some damage at Mabel's.
Oh, yeah. I've ate there twice now, and I actually got to go there when they opened it. You know what I mean? And we ate a bunch of stuff, and Michael Simon took care of us, but that barbecue's pretty solid. You know?
Yeah.
So we stay on Rocky River, and
have you been to Mellow Mushroom out there?
Yeah, we've done Mellow Mushroom.
Solid.
I do a lot of pizza. I mean, I go to pizza places. We go to Jets a lot, honestly. Like, I just like, oh, let's get a Jets pizza tonight, you know. I do Chipotle a lot down there. What's a little hidden? Well, there's a brown sugar cuisine, maybe it's called. It's, like, right across the street from where I stay. And we'll hit that up, and it's pretty good,
okay.
You know, Asian food, Thai sure. food. So that's a little hidden gem in Rocky River.
There you go. Right,
there it is. Mr. Yeah. Betonio, well, great to have you in here as always, and keep the success going and get that W. And I think everybody can see. I think there's one thing that at least if we can share with you, because we kind of touch point with the fans quite a bit on this show, is there is people, I think, get it. I think obviously everybody wants to see the wins, and a lot of people say, man, this team could be 3-1, but I think they see the level of coaching, they see the effort, they see the performance, and they see young guys coming together and growing. And I think there is a lot of optimism from the fan base and certainly a lot of appreciation for what you guys are doing.
Yeah, definitely. We appreciate it, and we're, you know, working to get that first win. We want them to know that.
That's right. What better time than this Sunday against the New England Patriots,
yeah,
with all eyes of the NFL world on the return of what's that guy's name? Oh, Tom Brady. That guy. Yeah, guy's coming back. Joel, thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Browns guard Joel Betonio, one of the top offensive linemen in the league through the first four games, looking to get to the Pro Bowl this year and also keep this offense running and get that W. All right, when we come back, we have got Hugh Jackson at the podium. The Browns head coach spoke with the media after practice today. We'll have your fantasy football questions and much, much more here on CBD.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm reminding you tonight, 7 o'clock on News Channel 5, it's the Hugh Jackson Show. I sit down with Hugh Jackson. We go to the All-22 tape, get a coach's breakdown of Jamar Taylor's interception. We've got Matt Wilhelm talk with Terrell Pryor about his first touchdown on the field in the play walkthrough. Dustin Fox sits down with Pro Bowl tackle Joe Thomas, and much, much more only on the Hugh Jackson Show. That's tonight at 7. Only on News Channel 5. Speaking of Hugh Jackson, he was at the podium following today's practice, and here's what he had to say.
Progress report on Carl Nassib coming back. How has he been able to perform in practice with what you guys are?
No, he's practiced well. You know, he's going 100 miles an hour, you know, Carl. So, you know, we'll see where we are at the end of the week and see if we can get him out there. Well, I think he has to help us in that process. So we'll talk to him and see how he feels. But he's had a good week.
From the standpoint, the team has lost so much before you got here, and now it's 0-4. What do you use as indicators that you still have their attention and their enthusiasm that things can turn?
Well, just how they work. You know, they come in to work every day. So that's what I have to gauge all of that off of right now. I think the guys have done a great job. I mean, they've been really resilient. I think we had a group of fighters, and I think these guys will keep fighting.
What kind of expectations do you have? This is the first game Brady, Gronkowski, and Martellus Bennett are together, and everyone expected this to be some triangle offense that he used. What challenge does it pose you and your defensive coach to prepare for something you haven't seen?
Oh, it's a challenge. I mean, those you just named three very good players. And so it's a tremendous challenge, but we face one every week. You know, it hasn't been a week yet that we haven't faced a challenge, you know, from another team. Obviously, those guys are three of the better players in the National Football League, but our defense, we got to do everything we can to slow that group down.
Thank you. I think after the game you talked about how Isaiah had to take some plays coming to the sideline because he was – out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you need him to work on so he can be out there more?
No, I've been around a lot of great backs, and to me, you know, obviously he's got to earn that right for me to call him a great back, but I think when you catch a pass and you break several tackles like he did for a 14-yard run, I think he deserved the blow. I think that was an outstanding play by him, you know, and I've seen a lot of guys, you know, ask for one at that time. And so I don't feel that it was just, you know, all of a sudden it was a run and he was looking to come out. I think it was an extraordinary play that he had. And so I think he needed a blow and we gave him one. I don't, I said yesterday, maybe I didn't say it in here. I don't really look at it like maybe you guys do, that this guy got to carry the ball so many times. I think it's the position has to carry the ball so many times. I mean, himself and Duke combined, I think if you see those guys are carrying the ball over 25 times a game, you know. So that position is getting enough carries. We just got to keep the production where it is, and I think things will be good.
Do you know he was this elusive? I think he had 8 broken tackles the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it.
I'm not surprised by anything he's doing. You know, that's why I made the comments I made. He's a tremendous football player, and he's only going to get better, you know, if he'll continue to grind and work at it and stay to it. Him and Duke and the rest of the group, they will. They'll get better.
In terms of what he had to deal with in the summer with the controversy he created, now we're kind of seeing the response as time has unfolded. You know, he donated his first game check. We know he went to the funeral of the officer.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're also seeing that the stress and the pressure hasn't affected him on the field. What does all that mean to you, the way he's been able to kind of come back from that personally and professionally?
Well, I think personally I can't tell you the turmoil that he went through, you know, other than what, you know, he shared, but I know he was very remorseful about what happened. And I know that he wanted to do everything he could to make amends. And I think he's done everything that's been asked of him, everything that's been expected of him and more. And I think it wasn't any issue with him wanting to do that. I think that's what he wanted to do it right. And so, again, I give tremendous credit to obviously Peter and the rest of the group who helped navigate him through all this. You know, it was a tough time. You know, young man made a mistake. And that's what we all truly believed, that he made a tremendous mistake. And I thought he saw that, and he's tried to make amends for it. And I think he's tried to do the right thing since then.
Did you ever have a moment where you thought, we can't have a guy like this on our team who did something like that?
It was concerning. You know, I think my first conversation with him, he called me, and that made a difference to me as far as just I could tell that he knew that he had crossed the line and did something that was wrong. And to me, that's the first sign. I didn't have to chase the player chased me, you know, to let me know that he had made a huge mistake in judgment. And I know we all make mistakes sometimes, and there are mistakes that are unforgivable, and there's some that, you know, you work through, and I think it was a legitimate mistake by him. And I think he's owned up to that. He's taken responsibility for it, and he's done the right thing since then.
Can you talk just a little bit about Pryor's versatility in the last couple games and how important he will be in this game to balance out your offense?
Oh, well, he's important, as you said, in every game we play, because he can catch it, he can run with it. There's a lot of different things that he can do with the football. You know, it's a game-by-game situation for us. You know, it's not, you know, we don't go out there and say, okay, this is what he has to do. You know, it's 10 other guys playing. So, but he has a huge role, and he has a part that he has to play, and he's very important to what we do on offense. But he's got to play his role as well as he can play it. And I think that's what's important. And sometimes it doesn't go all the time the way you want it to. And, you know, he's still a young player that's emerging, you know, at his position. You know, he doesn't have the skins on the wall at that spot like a lot of other guys do. So I think he's understanding, you know, sometime week to week things could change. You know, from quarter to quarter it changes, you know, how people play you, you know. But this would be a tremendous challenge for him, because this team, they get up in your face and they put their hands on you and they don't let you go. So he's going to have to fight through some things, and that's a good challenge for him.
Takes before a head coach, especially one with quarterback expertise, knows what a rookie quarterback is, so to speak. Just to use one example, Mike Holmgren said you had to pretty much play a guy for 2 full years before you really knew. But in your case, how much of Kessler do you need to see before you quote unquote, know what he is?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, you know, he's playing, so I need to continue to watch and evaluate. And again, I think the key to quarterbacks is not just them, it's the people that's around them. You know, it takes 10 people to play on offense. So there's characteristics we want to see from our quarterback, and I think Cody has demonstrated a lot of those. But, you know, it's, again, getting a whole offense around a guy, you know, all of your pieces, per se, in place before I think you can truly ever evaluate anybody, you know. So does that take a little time? Probably so. But at the same time, I have a pretty good feel for what he is and what he isn't, and that's okay. You know, I think it's going to change from week to week, from month to month, from year to year, you know, because I think people are getting better and your team is evolving and changing. So we'll find out more about all of our players, not just Cody, I think, as we continue to move forward.
Second half of that game, and I know you guys were running the ball a lot, but you know, this was a game where Josh Gordon was supposed to be back and Corey Coleman was supposed to be in here with him. Are you having a hard time trying to are they doubling him? I mean, was Josh Norman took some credit for shutting him down, or you know, kind of address?
I mean Josh is gonna say what he says. I mean, I think I shut him down, be honest with you. I just kept handing the ball to the back. You know, but no, and it's going to be like that sometimes. That's my point. I mean, I think guys got to work through that. That's just part of it sometimes. Sometimes coverages get rolled your way, and you don't get the same opportunities you did earlier because teams see they need to take you away, and there's somebody else got to make a few more catches, like Gary Barnage did for us, like Duke Johnson did for us. So that's just part of playing, you know, football, you know, and teams are going to try to take you away, and we got to find a way to get it to you. And, you know, the one time we did, obviously, the wrong thing happened. The ball was going back the other way. So we got to be smart in how we do it. We know that Terrell's important to our offense. But, again, there's 10 other players, you know, and some other guys that can catch it and run with it, too, as well.
Very versatile with the roster, given injuries, suspensions. But now you have, obviously, Tom Brady back. You know what he's capable of. But you haven't seen this year's offense with him under center. Is there a fear or a feel that this New England offense, just coming into this week with Brady back, could be more unpredictable than ever?
No. I think, there's a good history of Tom Brady and what he is and how he plays. And they're going to throw the football, and they're going to run the football. They're going to, you know, attack us where they think we're vulnerable. I mean, and Tom is the, you know, he spearheads that. So I don't think there's unpredictability that way. I think Tom's going to do what he does, which is throw the ball as well as anybody in this league to his guys. And what we have to do is try to take those guys away. So I don't think there's any fear. Like I said, I think week in and week out, there's always an offense we have to try to slow down. I mean, last week it was the Washington Redskins, who at the time was one of the best pass teams in all of football. And we were able to slow them down a little bit, you know. Do you want to stop a team? Yes, you know. But I think our job is to do everything we can to limit his ability to play like he wants to play. And just, it's no different for them towards us. They're going to try to limit us with the way we want to play. So that's just pro football, and that's the chess match between coaches and staffs, and that's how it works.
Last one.
We know him. Special teams are really important to him. He's got two of the best kickers, just about every team you play. What's your state of the special teams right now? I mean, the field position seems to have been tilted against you a lot more times than not.
Well, I think we play a lot of young guys. You know, I think you said it. I mean, they have a core group of guys that have been there and know their system and has done a good job. I think Coach Tabor has done a good job thus far with what he's been able to do. You know, we've had to change kickers. We've had to do a lot of different things. So I think our guys are responding well and getting better. We by no means a finished product yet, but I think our young guys are starting to understand. It's really interesting to watch a young guy like Ricardo Lewis, who wasn't playing a lot of offense, was playing a lot of special teams, and now he's playing a lot of offense and playing special teams. So he's found out, you know, woo, this is a little different. And I think it's a little shock for some of the guys, but I think our guys are getting better each and every day, and it is a huge part of a football team, you know, the special teams. And we got to continue to do it better and get better at it, and I think we will.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson when we return here on CBD. We'll take a look at this New England Patriots defense, a very good unit with some familiar names to Browns fans and also some familiar names just from around the league. This is a very, very deep and good unit up front and on the back end where they may have one of the better safety duos in the National Football League, led by free safety Devin McCourty. We'll talk about their defense. Also, tweet your questions for fantasy football. Use the hashtag AskTFC. It's Nathan Zger and Matt Wilhelm on Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zger, Matt Wilhelm here. Matt, let's go ahead and take a look at this New England Patriots defense. Let's dive into these guys. And it's a good defense with names you know up front. You've got Chris Long, former top pick from the Rams, Alan Branch, Malcolm Brown, Jabal Sheard. Sheard, their leading sack guy right now. He's got three sacks on the season. And this is a good front. Chris Long can get to the quarterback. You've got Sheard, who can get to the quarterback so far on the season. One sack for Long. He's got three quarterback hits. Sheard, three sacks and four quarterback hits. Alan Branch, who's one of the bigger guys in the middle, he's got a sack, but really more of a run stuffer. And then you've got Malcolm Butler, who already has 19 tackles on the season as an interior defensive lineman. These are some good players. This is a good front for the Browns to face.
It is. And correct me if I'm wrong, just in watching the Patriots the last couple nights, last couple weeks, but specifically that Thursday nighter, I mean, does Chris Long with the face paint and the tattoos not like fit in like in the Patriots uniform, like look like he's like made to play for the Patriots?
He does.
There's a few teams that like the tattoos and the face paint wouldn't have fit all that well, and I can't necessarily say it fit all that well in St. Louis, but now that it's there and like just the whole, you know, mantra and mindset of what they do, looking like a tough guy off the edge. But you're right. And that's why I asked, you know, Mike Reese earlier in the show, you know, about the addition of Chris Long as an outside guy and Jabal Sheard 2 years ago. Somehow, some way, and I know that when John Hughes signed there a couple weeks ago and Barkevious Mingo signing here, that, you know, Bill Belichick does the most with other teams' trash and turns it into successful football players. And I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, Jabal Sheard is trash, but he, I know it's something that you said all the while. And I think even in this scheme right now with Ray Horton, that we're playing a heck of a lot more 4-3, would you love to have a guy like Jabal Sheard? You know, but it might have pushed Carl Nassib and Emmanuel Ogba a little bit deeper down the depth chart, as, you know, he'd be, you know, one of your ends in this 4-3. But they're getting a lot of productive production out of these players. I think he's so right about Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins, to me, looks like the best player in football one week. And then he may have like one tackle and two assists the next week. And I think Dante Hightower, to me, fits the perfect mold that Brandon Spikes and Gerard Mayo played for the Patriots team the last 10 years. He's not a Pro Bowl caliber guy, but yet he's well above serviceable. He just makes the plays he's supposed to make. And I think and what the Patriots do very well is they just find exactly what they need, you know, and put the square peg in the square hole instead of trying to morphing someone that they're not into their system. And I think it's and credit to Bill Belichick, credit to, you know, their organization for doing that. I think there's four or five teams in the league that do that better than most. And the Patriots are definitely one of them.
And you talk about these ends, they both have 12 quarterback hurries according to Pro Football Focus, so that's three a game. And I think Chris Long going against Austin Pastore is going to be a big matchup for the Browns. Might want to give him a little chippy chip.
Yeah, it's something that's manageable. There. I know Chris Long is not the player that he was, I'll say, year 2 to 5 in St. Louis. He's not. And I got an opportunity to watch it. His get-off is great. His motor is still very high. But to me personally, in watching it, the production and the destruction that he used to be as a player is no longer there. Now, and I think it's probably because he does, in fact, get a lot of attention. But in this game, we're going to have the dual attention because Jabal Sheard leads the team in sacks, and yet you're going to have Chris Long and Austin Pastor. So you've got to kind of pick your poison on how you want to attack this football team. And I think you're right. The hard part is when you get guys chipping to get out into routes, that means they're a half step or half a beat, you know, slower into their route. those guys are bearing in on Cody Kessler, and Cody Kessler, along with in with Hugh Jackson as his play caller and head football coach, wants to have the ball delivered in a timely manner. You decrease his ability to deliver the football in a timely manner when guys are having to spend an extra amount of time in protection alone.
Absolutely, and you talk about Jamie Collins on the season right now. He is the number 3 overall graded linebacker by Pro Football Focus behind Zach Brown of Buffalo, Luke Kuechly of Carolina. Already has 2 interceptions on the season, and he's a guy that you've got to be careful of and cognizant of. Very good in coverage, and that could be a matchup against Gary Barnage there. The other linebackers, they've got Dante Hightower, who's really that Mike thumper in the middle, a very big run stopper, and they've got Jonathan Freeney on the other side. Corners, Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, and Malcolm Butler playing as well as anybody. He's followed at times. They've also had Logan Ryan follow at times and use a double team, which is something we talked about. Mike Reese hinted that he's not sure how they're going to do it game plan-wise, but those corners are playing well. And then you've got Patrick Chung and Devin McCourty, the safeties who, in terms at that position, Devin McCourty considered to be one of the very best cover safeties in the entire NFL. He's having a good season in that regard. Patrick Chung, a very versatile, strong safety, but you can get him biting deep. They also have Daron Harmon, who has played well and is a good cover safety for that team. So this is a solid team. This is why they are a championship team. You're not going to find a lot of holes on this Patriots team.
And that's the greatest thing is, you know, there we've talked about how a certain player will flash: Jamie Collins, Chris Long, Jabal Sheard, Devin McCourty, but they all just do what they have to do collectively as a unit. So it's not the strength in the individuals. And that's the one thing that I even found, you know, early as we were talking to Mike Reese, and right after that segment, I go, who's making money for this Patriots team? Because when you look at it, they've got a lot of solid players, but not a lot of superstars, yep. Minus essentially Martellus Bennett, Rob Gronkowski, and Tom Brady.
They have a lot of what Joe Thomas called the middle class.
Correct.
A lot of it, and upper middle class. They're solid middle class guys. The one guy that I do think the Browns can get at here is Patrick Chung. This year he's been targeted 17 times. He's given up 13 catches for 136 yards, a touchdown, quarterback rating of 118.8 allowed against. That's the guy that I think you need to try to get your favorable matchups with, whether it be with a tight end or if you can get him on a slot receiver or just take shots at him. If you're going to go deep on his side of the field. Don't go deep on Devin McCourty.
Right, exactly, and that's because of the range of Devin McCourty, and you know this is Patrick Chung's second go-around with the Patriots, so he did something right, tried to get paid somewhere else. You know, the league chewed him up and spit him out, and he fits right back into the Patriot way. And I think that's a testament to what the Patriots have done and why they've had sustainable winning. They have a template of how to win football games. If you don't fit it, you will not play for them. And I think so. It's these players that can play, like, again, the Rob Ninkoviches of the world, a fifth-round draft pick, you know, I think cut by the Saints, and now barring his suspension, they're leading sacker over the last 3 years.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about it.
That's what I mean.
Ninkovich, who's going to be back in
and
this
Mike
game.
And Mike Reese brings it up that he's coming off suspension. And, you know, you and I, he's an afterthought because of the production they're getting out of Long and Jabal Sheard. So you add him into the mix. And the one thing defensively throwing him back in the mix is you might have a speed package defensively where you get Ninkovich, Sheard, Chris Long, and maybe like a Malcolm Brown to be your heavy guy, you know, in the middle against the run on third down or a certain package where you leave Jamie Collins on the field, Hightower on the field. Those three ends that I talked about, you bring in a nickel back, you got McCourty and Chung and Malcolm Butler and Logan outside, and you're in good shape, Logan Ryan.
It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Ninkovich, Sheard, and Long on the field in some pass rush, and they can kick Jabal Sheard inside and have him rush from the interior. Ninkovich, by the way, more opponent fumble recoveries over the last 6 seasons, that's 2010 to 2015, than any other player. He has 14 fumble recoveries, so you got to watch that strip sack if he's coming off the edge. Second in that category, by the way, is J.J. Watt. So that's the Patriots on defense. They got one of the best kickers in the game, Steven Gostkowski, punter Ryan Allen. Solid, again, but their kicker, Gostkowski, considered by many to be the best kicker in the entire National Football League, and that's always a good advantage.
It is, and going back, I think, 2 weeks now to that Thursday night football game against the Houston Texans, if you recall, that was when Jacoby Brissett was starting his first National Football League game, and without Garoppolo, without Brady, what were they going to look like? They won 27-0, but the 2 times that they went down the field and scored, whether it was a touchdown, I think one was a field goal, their coverage unit led by Nate Ebner, who's a buddy of mine, he's on the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer with me, former Buckeye, who should be going to the Pro Bowl almost every year, being that next special team standout, him and that special teams unit because of the buy-in that Bill Belichick gets and putting emphasis into all three facets of the football game. They go down the field, kick the ball off, knock the fumble out, recover the fumble, and set up their rookie quarterback at the time, Jacoby Brissett, with two other scoring opportunities. One that I think they cashed in for a touchdown.
Yep.
Another that led to a Gostkowski field goal. But those are just the things that they that the Patriots do. And I think what scares me most, talking about the kicking game with a kicker like Gostkowski, it's you cross the 50, you're almost in his range. And the weather here in Cleveland is going to be fairly nice. What it's going to be like on the lake, I don't necessarily know. But this is going to be a game that even if Tom Brady is, you know, a little rusty is, you know, misses an 8-play, 45-yard drive and misses a third down. They're going to get points consistently because they have a kicker like that who's got, 60 yards plus, you know, in his wheelhouse.
By the way, per Pro Football Focus, Patriots, the number two overall special teams unit in the NFL right now, trailing only the Baltimore Ravens. The Browns up to 27th this week in the special teams ratings. Their punter, Ryan Allen, fourth in the NFL, 43.5-yard net average right now. We know how good Gostkowski is. So that's what you're looking for from the special team side of it. When we come back, a couple quick fantasy questions, and we wrap it up here on this Thursday in Berea. Zagur and Wilhelm on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with a question mark for the ages here.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to those questions, fantasy football questions. Quickly, Fontana, what you got?
Yeah, we got a few here. This one's from Eric. He needs to start two out of the following players: Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, Travis Benjamin, or Jordan Matthews. No word if it's PPR.
Oh, man. All of them are good options. I would rank them Amari Cooper, number one, T.Y. Hilton, two, Jordan Matthews, three. But so that's Cooper and T.Y. Hilton.
This one's for David. He actually is asking Matt this question, but I think it applies to both of you. Do you see Hunter Henry supplanting Antonio Gates this season?
Yes, I do. And it's unfortunate. You know, Gates had such a storied career there. Just can't get healthy. And I think before long, you know, Coach McCoy as well as Phillip Rivers have to find another viable option to stress the middle of that defense.
We continue on. This is from you already answered that one from Eric. I think that's all we got, guys.
All right. There it is. There it is in the fantasy football world. We appreciate that. Want to thank Mike Reese for being with us. Great from the ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Here's one more for Frank. He's got Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. Do I keep the one or drop them for Washington from Oakland? Keep those guys. Lottery tickets, especially Williams. Also, Mike Reese, great interview today. Joel Bitonio, if you missed that, check it out on the Browns mobile app for Matt Fontana and Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.